Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
We're a hopeless case. And when we get to that place, we're in the best place we could possibly be. And then all of a sudden, with a simple prayer, you don't even know how to pray, but you can utter from your heart a simple word, and God runs to that simple prayer.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Amen. Welcome, Truth Seekers, to Truth Infusion. I am really excited about what we're going to do today in the Truth Infusion Studios and the potential. You know, any time that you're operating in the Spirit and the words of God are flowing, the potential for the effect is huge. But I think especially about what's going on today is going to be great. From the beginning of this radio show, one of the things that I wanted to do and then I discussed with the ministry partners was to have radio programs that I wanted to call Testimony Time. And up until this point, I've only done that one other time, and it's been several months ago. Some of you may remember having a radio show with Mr. Kenneth Self and a testimony that what God had done, the miraculous, powerful work that God had done in his life. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to have Testimony Time. And before I introduce good friend and co-laborer in Christ that's going to minister to you today, I want to make this point. We're told in Revelations. I wish I had looked this up beforehand, but God just put this on my heart. Bible says that, and they overcame with two things. Number one, the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. And here's the neat thing about the blood of the Lamb. It don't need our help. It is whole and complete and powerful to do whatever God sends it out to do. The second thing it told us that we overcome Satan, the enemy, by is the word of our testimony. That's why these shows, I think, are important, because I'm not just going to be laying out scripture for you today and dividing up scripture. What you're going to hear today is real life happening. Scripture that came alive in the life and heart of a man that revolutionized him and made him a brand new creature. And with that in mind, I want to introduce to you a good friend of mine, Mr. Chuck Mansells. Chuck, just say hello to the people.
How are y'all? It's absolutely my pleasure to be here.
Amen. And let me tell you something. I know you're not in here in the studio with us, but the presence of God is already on my brother, and he's feeling that. Chuck, I can tell you I've been excited about this moment for a long time. You and I were corresponding. You remember?
Absolutely.
And one of the things that I told you in our correspondence, and I'll let you kind of get into that correspondence, maybe the details of the addresses that we had at that time. But one of the things I told you about is one of these days you and I are going to do this very thing. We're going to do radio because I wanted people to know about what God has done in your life. Has He done a major work in your life?
Absolutely so.
Amen. So let's talk about testimony. And to me, the best testimonies, there's no right or wrong way, I guess, to give a testimony. But to me, the best ones operate in explaining where you came from. And I don't know how you would describe where you came from, but it wasn't something that you would see on the Andy Griffith Show.
Absolutely.
or Leave It to Beaver. But you've come down some roads.
I have. You know, let me just start off by saying that God has he's manifested a lot of things in my life, and the life that I came from was so foreign to the life that I'm living today.
Yeah.
And when you live a life like that, you at some point in time in your life, you accept those things. You accept the fact of the matter that that's just your life. And the fact of the matter is you're ignorant to any other life other than that. If you don't grow up in a Christian home, if you don't have Christian family, you don't know anything about God. You may hear something about God through schools, or you may hear something about God through other people. Yeah. But it was not something that we talked about in our home. It was just real foreign. So, you know, I'm grateful to have the opportunity to be able to be on this radio broadcast, there you go, and be able to share with so many people. But if you want, I'll go ahead and start a little bit about where I came from.
Yeah.
And I was born and raised in Houston, Texas. Mom and dad, you know, from a childhood, mom and dad, I thought was a normal household. You know, there was arguments and there was things that went on, but it was nothing out of the norm. You know, that was pretty much normal in my household.
Life for you.
Is not only that, but you know, I seen it within my mom's sister's household too. Things was just, you know, mom and dad would argue, and that was the norm. I remember when little things like smoking cigarettes, marijuana smoking was not a big deal in our household. Mm-hmm. That was just something that, you know, I might take a marijuana cigarette from my mom to my dad.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, so that was real normal. I can tell you when things kind of went from bad to worst. I can absolutely remember the time, and I was a young child, but I remember when things had turned from worst to bad to worse. So, and I believe that's the time that methamphetamines was introduced to my household through my dad. And over a period of time, my dad had become a methamphetamines cook, as they call it. But I'm going to say a period of time from the age of 5, maybe till I was 12, things had gotten to where my mom and dad would leave us with people a lot. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They would leave us at other people's homes, this, that, and the other. Well, at the age of 12, they had finally given me up for adoption to a lady that had taken care of my mom when she was younger. And I got to tell you, David, that was real hard for me to accept, because I was...
It's all right.
I was a huge mama's boy. So.
Yeah.
So for my mom to do that, just to leave me with someone, was abnormal, and so I was confused. So therefore, I grew up real rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
Not only against people, man. I wouldn't draw close to anyone. Matter of fact, if I felt a closeness developing, I would actually literally turn the other way.
Absolutely not an uncommon response. And you know, the word tells us that the experiences we have had are not uncommon to man. So as much as this is your story, you're speaking, I'm sure, to people right now that can say, I've been there.
Mm.
I know what that's like. So that's what's wonderful about this, is people are going to be able to relate to everything that you're talking about. Keep going.
Right. Well, not only was I rebellious against people and my mom, and I was confused as a child growing up, which, you know, now looking back, I can totally understand that. I would see how any child would be confused. And I was really rebellious against God. People would say something about God as I was growing up as a teenager, and I would be like, what kind of God would put anybody through?
Absolutely.
The things that I've been through in my life? So therefore, I was more of a non-believer, if you would say, than if I had, you know, even went through a few things and come out through the other side or whatever. So that was really why I considered myself, I'm going to say agnostic. I believed in some type of creator. I wouldn't have put a label on him, naming him God or anything else. But what I had done was, and really as I grown older and I experienced those things like meth myself, mm-hmm. and the drugs myself, that was really a crutch I was using just to do the things that I wanted to do in life.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say that, you know, you can, just like if you have an alcoholic in your family, it's genetically inclined, you can also be an addict, this, that, or another. I don't know how true that is. That's either here nor there. But I do want to say this, that when I tried methamphetamines the first time,
uh-huh.
I remember saying, I understand why my mom and dad would have done the things they done, because for the simple fact is that I guess I had felt such a peace or a calm or a good feeling because of the drug.
Yeah.
And so therefore, due to that, I'd spent all the years of my life, my first time using meth was at the age of 15. And from 15 to the age of 35, I was so consumed and lost in that world. Satan had such a stronghold. I was in bondage for so many years of my life due to that. And I accepted the fact that that was it. And not only did I accept the fact, but I was ignorant to the fact that there was any other way other than the life that I had lived. And I stopped and I refused to point fingers at my mom and dad anymore. I even, you know, I said, you know, bygones be bygones. I did have an opportunity, however, to meet up with my dad again when I was 28. He had passed away, and my biological family had gotten a hold of me, and I got a chance to go say bye. But I was so consumed with the drugs at that time that it was just like, you know,
you were living life through the glasses of a meth addict.
Absolutely.
Okay, so ultimately, where did all of that lead you?
Well, like I said, I was born and raised in Houston. When I got adopted, I moved to Waco, Texas, which is...
And that was about 12 that years was, old?
Well, it's a little suburb out of Waco called Groesbeck. It's a little bitty town.
And you were about 12 at that time.
At 12. Gotcha. I was 12 at that time. And, you know... like I said, I was real confused to everything that was going on at that age. But, you know, as I grown older, started playing football, you know, time heals all wounds. And eventually over time, man, I'd never forgotten. As a matter of fact, man, I remember my mother's and my father's face as if it was yesterday. Yeah. And I still think about them every day. To this day, I have no clue where my mother's at, but I know my father's passed. I have two biological brothers somewhere out there.
Yeah.
And a big biological family that I haven't seen in a while. I did see some of them when I went to my dad's funeral, but I was so consumed with the drug at that time that I never kept in contact.
You weren't there
them.
To build absolutely, relationships absolutely or not. Build stuff. The first time I met you, I was ministering in Bowie County jail over here, and the guards start releasing inmates to come into the room that we had church in. This guy bebops in, and immediately I think that guy's got anointing on him. And it was you. And that's the guy that I saw come in that door is not the guy that you're describing to me growing up.
Absolutely.
So what happened between a meth addict and you walking into a room in a jumpsuit and me thinking that guy's got God on him? What happened to you?
Well, that's a whole story in itself. God's awesome, man. And little did I know throughout my whole life that, you know, as I was growing up, you know, I was an already chosen child of God,
that's
and I
right.
just did not know it.
Amen.
And I spent so many years and so much of my life renouncing or disclaiming the name of God, and God was just he was divinely laying out the paths of my whole life, and I did not even know it. He had led me to the exact point in time, which was in Bowie County here in Texarkana, Texas, for my salvation, and I didn't know it. And now that I look back on it, I'm thinking, wow, God makes no mistakes in anything that he does, and he allows us to go through these exact things for his purpose, for his glory. And it's amazing that I can sit here and say that and actually praise God for the things that I've went through in my life, because not that I don't want to point fingers and said I've had a harder life than anyone else. I'm sure there are many, many people out there that's been through a lot more than I have, but I've been through some things in my life. I've done some things that I'm not proud of, but God knew exactly what he was doing in every instance of my life that he was doing it. So let's back up and I'll do this as quickly as possible.
Okay.
But I had already been to prison twice due to self-inflicted wounds, due to methamphetamines, and although I never had a meth charge, it was due to the drug that I did the crimes that I had done. And I was on my way back to prison for the third time when I had seen you, and I'll give you a little insight about how I come to my salvation real quick.
Okay.
I'll make it real quick for you. I was in county on a technical violation. And I was just going to a 90-day ISF, no big deal. They had caught my girlfriend bringing me some cigarettes to the county. Well,
they don't like that.
Absolutely not. That's okay. That is prohibited.
Okay, yeah.
And a matter of fact, the charge is called introducing a prohibited substance into a correctional facility.
And what did that land you?
That landed me actually at that moment when they caught her in SEG, and it inadvertently gave me an 8-year sentence.
So it tacked 8 years
onto a 90. So I turned 90 days into 8 years in a matter of hours.
In a moment. I got you.
So I ended up in SEG, and you know, I'm gonna tell you that I never understood Matthew 5:3. It says, "Blessed is the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." But when I hit that SEG, I was at such a point in my life, such a bottom, such a poverty-stricken, destitute point in my life that, you know, I had tried everything else in my life. I had tried drugs, women. I've tried, you know, running the roads and doing the things that I wanted to do for so many years of my life that the one thing that I never tried is the only thing.
Yeah, man, come on. That's all right.
It's the only thing that that has taken me from the man that I used to be to the man I am today.
Yeah.
So now I'm in this jail cell, and I'm in this SEG, and I said, you know, I remember this like it was yesterday, David. I didn't have not a clue how to pray, never prayed a prayer in my life. And, you know, and God don't hear the words that come out of your mouth. He hears and sees the sincerity and the humbleness of your heart, man. And I was at such a loss, man, and I was scared and I was confused. And I said, you know, and I remember like yesterday, I said, if you're up there, if you're real, and if you can, and if you're willing, would you and can you do anything with this guy right here? And I'm going to tell you something. At that point in time, man, I hit my knees, and I went to bawling for 3 hours straight. I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't understand then that the Spirit of God was working on me, and he was ministering to me at that very second. I didn't even realize that, but I know it. I know it today. Well, I got up from crying. I was trying to get myself together, man, and and there was a trustee guy out there sweeping and stuff, and I'd known him, and I said, you know, hey, brother, I said, man, hey, can you get me a Bible? And he looked at me because he knows the things that I used to say out
He's
there.
He's thinking, Chuck, is that you in there?
Yeah, that's exactly what he said, man. He said, you all right? And I said, I'm absolutely wonderful. I said, man, if you could get me, I said, I don't know where one's at, but I know I've seen some of them little brown Gideon Bibles. If you could go grab me one of those, man, he said, all right, man. He said, I'll be right back. Chill out. Because I was kind of, you know, I was kind of emotional. So my eyes had to have been puffy, crying for three hours at least. So he slides it up underneath the door, and I'm going to tell you something, man. I consumed that word for 3 months. They kept me in there, and God had really, really been working on my heart. And
now, you've told me this before, and when you said this before, I immediately think about Paul. When Paul had his salvation experience, it wasn't too very long after that God took him away and segregated him.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Absolutely.
And what he had at that point, he didn't have a Gideon Bible, but he had the Holy Spirit of the Bible. And for that time, however long that was, it was a big block of time of Paul's life. It was just him and the Holy Spirit. And I think, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but do you think that was kind of what that moment was for you, was just you and the Spirit and that word? And for that period of time, you were in segregation with God.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, looking back today, man, I know that was a divine appointment in itself. And God had used that situation. And I remember this prayer. Let me tell you something, David. I don't have any family, like I've explained in the past, anyone who was walking with the Lord. So while I was in there and I had that Bible, I remember crying out to him and saying, Lord, you know, I would love to be able to tell you right now that I would serve you with everything I am. I would love to be able to tell you that I want to give you everything that I am. But I know for a fact that if I was to get out of this jail cell today, out of this jailhouse today, I know what I would do because I know me.
Yeah,
I would go back to the one thing that I'm comfortable with and the only thing that I really know, and that's selling and doing drugs. And I said, so if I am to serve you, would you please help me? Send something, send somebody, because if I get out there today, I don't have anybody out there that goes to a church. I wouldn't know where to go and where to start.
Yeah.
And
which is the case for so many brothers and sisters that come out of lockup and have their heart after the Lord but don't know where to turn.
Absolutely.
At that point.
Absolutely. And that story in itself, man, I remember as it was coming to a close of me being in lockup, I had that little brown Gideon Bible, and they told me, they said, in 10 days, if you continue to act right, we're going to let you out. And I was like, man, I got to tell you, man, I got nervous because everybody out there in populations are the exact people I was running the streets with. And I was like, Lord, I got to tell you, I want to do this. And I said, I was like trying to play let's make a deal with God. And I said, Lord, I tell you what, I'll go out there and I promise you, I'll proclaim your name and I'll open up this Bible because I know today, I didn't need no man to tell me God was real anymore. Right. The Spirit had done all that work. Amen. So there was no convincing me otherwise. So I said, I'll go out there, I promise, but just don't put me in B5. B5 was where all my buddies were at. And I said, just do not put me in B5. You can put me anywhere else, man. Just let me make it on B5.
Well, what happened?
Well, what do you think I went?
Put you right there.
He put me in B5. So, man, I get in there. I get in the tank, man. And I tell you what, everybody was like a little family reunion. Everybody's like patting me on the back, Chuck. Glad you're out, this and another. Well, rubber was about to meet the road. Little did I know, it was time for me to put everything up. And the Spirit was kind of working on me. What are you gonna do? So I sat down, man, and I grabbed that little brown Gideon Bible, man, and I opened it up. And guys just kind of, you know, drawed away from me. But I can see them in the distance, kind of cutting their eyes, maybe even talking to one another. But I'm going to tell you something, David. God had used me to minister to them guys in there. And a lot of the guys that knew who I was before, seeing this guy today, that mm-hmm. day, and yeah, you know what? I hadn't been walking with the Lord long at all, but I knew that God was real. So
He made a change.
He made a change. And you know, that's the change that nothing or no one can take that away from you. Once the Spirit starts working within you, and I always wondered, where am I getting this desire? Where am I getting this want and this hunger? Because I would see other people who would open their Bible occasionally and they would set it down. They may not open it up for a week or so. I was so consumed in it every single day. I just, mm-hmm. I couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah.
And so God had ministered to me and through me, to be able to reach out to a lot of them guys, man. And I'm telling you what, eventually, and man, that's a whole nother story, radio show, because God had brought a lot of guys to their salvation.
Well, you and I joke about it sometimes when you refer back to that time, you know, we talk about you being on the mission field.
Right, absolutely.
And I see it that way. God changed you and kept you for a determined amount of time from that segregation salvation to when you walked out of there, right. God had determined this amount of time you're going to be on this mission field proclaiming my name.
That's right.
And how many men he was able to touch and reach through your ministry. You say God would send somebody to minister inside prison. Yeah, you ever see where Paul spent a lot of his
career
working for the Lord?
That's why I love Paul so much, man. I love his writings. I love his teaching. So much that Paul talks about, man, I personalize it into my life. I could take you to scripture after scripture where Paul talks about his conversion and who he used to be in Christ and who he is today.
Yeah.
And if we have time, can I share one little quick one?
Do that while you're looking for that scripture. Because we've got about 5 minutes. And in that 5 minutes, I want you to hit some scripture that's on your heart.
All right.
And then I want us to kind of move that into maybe a prayer for those that are listening that are really finding themselves drawn to what you're saying.
Absolutely. Okay, well, check this out. When I first hit this scripture right here, man, it kind of just blew my mind. So you said we got 5 minutes. I want to make it quick. It's coming out of 1 Timothy, starting in verse 12, and it's going to go to 17.
Okay.
Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted out of ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith, love that are in Jesus Christ. And here's my part right here. I love this. He says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus come into this world to save sinners, in whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience. Amen. As an example for those who will believe on him and receive eternal life. So what he's saying is, because of guys like Paul, because of guys like Chuck,
Amen.
People who know me from the past will see me today and say, if God can do it from him, he can do it from me, and there's no reason why he won't. And people aren't worried, and they're not concerned about what comes out of your mouth. They don't want to hear your talk. They want to see your walk.
Goodness.
And when you walk it out, that's why so many guys said stuff to me, and they was like, Chuck, man, I respect you because you don't do a lot of trying to push the Bible on anybody, but I see what you do every single day. Every now and then.
Amen.
It's a relationship that you have with Christ, and that is the difference. When the Spirit works within you, you can't deny him. You can't turn back to that old life. It is impossibility. When God saves you, you are absolutely a child of God, and there's nothing that can convince you otherwise.
And so then God will take a past that sometimes is even hard to talk about and use that for his glory.
Absolutely.
Turn it into a trophy of grace.
Absolutely.
And absolutely what we were before that salvation moment can become a sermon to draw people to Christ. Here's what I want you to do, Chuck. God, you
you have blessed me in this last few minutes, and I know the people that have heard your witness and your testimony, a lot of people relate. And there's some people right now that are saying, he just preached my sermon. He just, what he said he was, that's what I am. Mm. The roads he's walked, I've been on those roads. Mm. And brother, if those people were right here in this studio with us at this moment, and you could look in their eyes and you could say something to them in the next few minutes, what would you minister to their heart right now?
First of all, they need to know this, that they lived their life, so many years of their life, however old they are, however many years they've lived in that bondage, and Satan's had that stronghold on them. They got to know one thing and one thing only. They cannot do anything. There's no rehab, no TDC, no institution, no PRTC program, nothing that can change them. They themselves cannot change them. The only Amen. Thing that can change them is the blood of Christ and the cross. That's it. And if they can ever accept that as fact and just ask God to do for them what He has done in me, they with no doubt will be a changed person. They have to do it in humility and sincerity and not just lip service. They got to do it with everything within them, and they got to know that they can't do it within themselves. That's why scripture's out there is we got to depend on the Lord and the power of His might, not within Chuck's might or David's or anyone else. We got to depend on the Spirit that lives within us and not our own strength, because within our own strength, we are nothing. Look at what I've done to myself so many years in my life. I've been to penitentiary 3 times, but God has done a work within me, and it's through the Spirit He's done it in.
So we recognize that we're a hopeless case.
Absolutely.
And when we get to that place,
if you ever get to that bottom,
we're in the best place we could possibly
absolutely.
Be.
Absolutely. Blessed is the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
And then all of a sudden, with a simple prayer, you don't even know how to pray, but you can utter from your heart a simple word, and God runs.
That's absolutely
God true. Runs
absolutely
to that simple prayer.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Well, Chuck, brother, you know, you've got so much more to say.
I do, absolutely. I feel like we've been cut short, but you know what? God's good.
Amen. We'll come back and let you minister again. But thank you, man.
Man, thank
and
you.
And Truth Seekers, I know that he's been a blessing to you today, and what Chuck has in his life and what I've got in mind is not unique. You can have it too.
Absolutely.
What he's done for one man, he can do for another. He's not a respecter of person, and he will meet you at the very point of your needs. So you don't know where I've been, David, or what I've gone through or who I've hurt. It doesn't matter. The grace of God trumps all sin. He will meet you where you are, and he can make a change that will revolutionize only your life, but the life of those around you that can see what God has done for you. Mm. Truth Seekers, God bless you. I know this has been a blessing for you today, and above all things, as you march on forward from here, keep seeking the truth. Keep seeking the truth. God bless you.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Calicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.